Two little kids came to their mom on Mother's Day, and they had a huge house plant. It was beautiful. And they gave it to her. And the oldest one said, "Sorry, Mom, we really wanted to get you flowers instead of this big plant. But when we went to the florist store, all they had were that had flowers had something on there that said, 'Rest in peace.' And we wanted to get that for you because we knew that you're always looking for rest and peace. But we got this house plant for you." Happy Mother's Day, folks. Happy Mother's Day. If it applies to you, according to the Census Bureau, that is a lot of you. In the recent years, the value of shipments of Mother's Day cards, now this is, you know, actual cards, not just emails and things like that, but we actually have to buy a card, went from $80 million to $147 million spent on cards. And you can presume there'll be just as much of a jump each year as time goes on. I mean, the Americans give mom a day off today, supposedly, from the kitchen. A lot of Mother's Day humor, though. Some definitions you parents might recognize. Definition of airplane is what mom impersonates to get a one-year-old to eat strained beets. Oh, tell me you've never done it. Alien, what mom would suspect had invaded her house if she found their six-year-old cleaning them up after themselves. Or apple, a nutritious lunchtime dessert with which children can trade for a cupcake. A baby, number one, dad when he gets a cold. Or two, mom's youngest child, even if he's 42. Because mom's reason for, well, just about everything, it can't be explained. Carpool, complicated system of transportation where mom always winds up going the furthest with the biggest bunch of kids who've had the most sugar. Oh, yeah. China, legendary nation reportedly populated by children who love leftover vegetables. Eat your vegetables, the children starving. Oh, tell me you never heard that either. Yeah. Cook. The act of preparing food for consumption, or mom's other name. Couch potato, what mom finds under the sofa after the kids have gone to bed. Indeed, Mother's Day. It's exciting. The first call for Mother's Day, the first one, and this is interesting information, came in this country in the 1870s as an effort to rally women to work for peace in the world. The person who was pushing it, Julia Ward Howe, does that ring a bell with anybody? What did she write? The Battle Hymn of the Republic. That's right. She wrote that. She initiated the idea after her experience tending the wounded during the war between the states. She started a crusade to institute such an event. The last Mother's Day of that kind was June 1st, 1912, where the printed invitations noted that, quote, "This festival is a time for women and children to come together to speak, sing, and pray for those things that make for peace." 30 years later, in establishing it, 30 years earlier in establishing the observance, she had written this. "We will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs." Wow, that's a lot for Mother's Day. Of course, Mother's Day, as we know it now, observed on the second Sunday in May, has its origins with a lady named Anna Jarvis, who had a very different reason for honoring mothers. Never a mother herself, she spent most of her adult life caring for her mother in Grafton, West Virginia. Her concern was for mothers who needed care and whose adult children were neglecting them. And out of this interest, in 1905, Anna Jarvis started a campaign for an annual religious celebration honoring mothers. And in 1914, Congress passed a resolution providing that the second Sunday in May be designated as Mother's Day. And President Woodrow Wilson issued a Mother's Day proclamation. Now, Anna Jarvis has envisioned Mother's Day as a time of recommitment to honoring and caring for mothers. especially mothers who were no longer able to care for themselves. But she was dismayed to see the way the holiday began being celebrated. She lived to see Mother's Day become a victim of commercialization when honoring mothers was reduced to giving flowers, cards, and gifts. And that Anna Jarvis died in 1948. She was destitute, disappointed, disillusioned that her work had been so trivialized. But Mother's Day need not be trivialized. It can be and should be more than a Hallmark moment. And for that matter, I will propose a slightly heretical idea that it should not be relegated to a celebration of those who have given birth. An awful lot of news reports attest that the ability to breed does not necessarily qualify someone to be a mother. On the other hand, some of the finest mothering I've ever seen has come from people, both male and female, who've never had children of their own. They provide encouragement to the dejected, fortitude to those faint-hearted, applause to those who need accomplishment, and whenever needed, a shoulder to cry on. Because you see, we Presbyterians, when we baptize our children, we all make a statement that we will be there to help the parents raise their children. We all become parents each time we do that. The moms to which I refer, of both genders, take this promise seriously. It's their contribution that deserves grateful recognition of this on any Mother's Day. I was intrigued to see that our text lent themselves to this view of mothering, or more correctly, parenting. There is something about this prayer from John's Gospel that sounds an awful lot like a mom giving a prayer. The scene is in the upper room. Jesus had spent this night prior to his arrest encouraging the 12 people. He had washed their feet, giving them a lesson in humility. He had shared a bit about the future. My Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. He talked about their connectedness. I am the vine, you are the branches. There was that instruction to, quote, love one another. And it was going to take that mutual support to withstand the trials and tribulations that were about to come. Needless to say, they could not envision what their master was describing, but Jesus knew there would be tough times ahead, and he would not be there physically with them to ensure their safety. They would be on their own. And mothers know that feeling. Fathers, too. Even though it is now many years, I can still remember the very first time I saw my son Michael toddle off by himself to play with another child. We were at the city park, and we'd been playing together. Up to that time, his whole world was playing with us, with mom and dad. And he never took his eyes off of us or was out of our presence. And then all of a sudden, we look up, and Michael's eye had caught the attention of some other little playmate, and he got up and he scampered on those little legs just as fast as they could take him. None of the usual reluctance to let mommy and daddy out of sight. And as I watched him go, I knew this was a special moment. This was something different. I watched him go, and I knew it was just the beginning of letting go. And then it happens, it repeats over and over again. The first day of kindergarten, remember that? When you let somebody else, some lady usually, take your child, that is tough. We had a daycare center in the previous church that I served, and on first day when the kindergartners would come in, it's almost like we needed a prayer service. It was so tough for moms and dads, but it does happen. And then we see it when we unload a car at a college dorm and you get all that stuff out, and all of a sudden, he or she is living in a room with other people and not at your house. And you got to say goodbye and get back in that car. And how about that moment when you walk her down the aisle and you say to the young man, take care of her? Yeah, it's tough. But Jesus' prayer that I read is a prayer of a parent letting go of a child. Listen to some of the words again and hear how a parent might say it. There's quite a few of these. We're going to go back and forth. Jesus says, I made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. A mom says, I have tried to teach them properly. Jesus says, they were yours and you gave them to me. Mom says, yes, I know that my children belong to God, not me, but I know that they have been entrusted to me to be brought up properly. Jesus says, they know that everything you have given me is from you. And mom says, they have learned their lessons well. Jesus says, I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. And mom says, yes, I could pray some general prayer, but this is very specific, and it is for my kids, the ones whose welfare you entrusted to me. Jesus says, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. And mom says, Lord, I am not going to be there to protect them, so you please be there to protect them. Jesus says, so that they may be one as we are one. And mom says, and never let them forget that they are family. Jesus says, and I speak those things in the world, for they must have my joy made complete in themselves. And mom says, let them be happy. Jesus says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Mom says, I'm not asking for any special magical treatment for them. Jesus says, I ask you to protect them from the evil one. And mom says, the drugs, the booze, the sex, and yes, the greed, the pride, the selfishness, all the ways that evil can invade and ruin a life. Oh God, help my babies. Jesus says, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And mom says, I never raise them to the standards with which the world is comfortable. I raise them by your standards. Help them to stay different, based on the sure and certain knowledge that what they have learned long ago is true. Finally, Jesus says, as you have sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. Mom says, there was a time I left the nest. Now it is their turn. Take care of them. All of these part of the prayers that parents can share for their children, that Jesus shared for us. It isn't easy being a parent. We make no illusions of it. We'd make this a beautiful holiday, and we, you know, Mother's Day, and we forget all of the tough times and the times when you looked at them and wondered if they had been alien monsters that had been accidentally left for you. One mother of three absolutely notorious youngsters was asked whether or not she'd have children if she was able to do it over again, would she have children? And she said, yes, but not these. Yeah. But another little boy took a little different slant when he was in a Sunday school presentation, and his mother was in the front row, and she was prompting him, and she gestured and formed the words silently with her lips, but it did not help. Her son's memory just went blank. And finally, she leaned forward and whispered the Q words he was supposed to say, I am the light of the world. And the child beamed, and with a great feeling and a loud, clear voice, he said, my mother is the light of the world. Some of us feel like that. Not everybody, but some do. But I think there's something that we pause on a day like this and we give thanks. We give thanks for the mothers that served the Lord in such a powerful way, raising their children as well as they could. And then for those children who, when they left and came back and left and came back and left and came back, and you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. That Jesus was with them and continues to be with them all the time. Because moms, while you pray for your children are praying for you. The Bible says so. Let me ask you this though. As you pray for your children and your children in your extended family, do you pray for the children of this community as well? I hope so. Good moms do that. That's what they're like. They never ever entirely let go, just like Jesus. And that is good news. Happy Mother's Day. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for moms. Moms of all forms and kinds and shapes and sizes and genders and all those relationships. You give us these abilities within us to care and nurture for children. And today is a day to recognize that and celebrate that. Truly, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And moms are just that important. And so we honor them today. And we hear this prayer of Jesus, and we realize that as he prayed for his disciples, he prays for us, and we pray for our children just as he did. So hear us in our prayers. Hear us as we lift up these precious beings that you put into our care and the precious children of this community. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.